Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Big weekend of college football. Everyone likes the intrigue of who's in, who's out, who deserves to go, who doesn't. And I think there's a thought process that the tricky one is going to be Ohio State, Alabama, if that's the one that is left. We'll see how Gary Danielson feels, and we'll get a thought on these games. Gary, welcome. How are you?
Hey, hi, Mike. How's everything going?
Good, thank you. And Gary's report.
It's a good weekend, yep. I will say that. You know, the good weekend is these championship games matter this week. All of them.
They do. And Gary's report brought to you by the U.S. Army, which he'll be doing Army-Navy in a couple of weeks. And Army's had a good year. Join the team that makes a difference. And Mavis Discount Tire. Save on tires at MavisTire.com. All right, give me a thought on each of the games here. First off, Clemson and Miami. Do you give Miami a chance?
Only if they can turn the ball over. I don't think anybody really believes watching Miami play that they are one of the four best teams talent-wise or programmed the way it's been built. But they've been able to win games. They've done it with defensive turnovers. They're elite in athletic skill on defense. And if they, you know, turn the game into two or three turnovers, they could catch Clemson off balance. I think Clemson is legitimately a national champion contender. I think Miami still needs to be built stronger on both sides of the ball, and I'm sure they will be in the long run. I would say of all the games, I would call this the one game that I would feel most confident that Clemson is the clear better team.
Do you give TCU a chance against Oklahoma?
I do. I would think that Oklahoma should win the game, especially since TCU did such a good job against them the last time in the second half. Gary Patterson does a really good job, and they're much more talented on defense and have more veterans there because in 2016 they lost a lot of their defensive player to injury. They've come back very strong. The fact that they played their three key road game, you know, three key teams in the Big 12 on the road, Oklahoma, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State, I think it's I wouldn't sleep on TCU, but I would expect Oklahoma to win the game, and I think they, if, you know, Baker May, I don't, you know, these Big 12 teams a little bit, when they get into these playoffs, you just don't know if their defense is going to hold up, but obviously Oklahoma would love a shootout once they do get in the playoffs.
Auburn against Georgia playing in Atlanta.
Well, this is, I'm going to think, to be a pretty even game, and here's why. Auburn beat Georgia so badly, but I don't think Georgia had the experience of the big stage, and I think that game will help Georgia much more than maybe any other team, especially since their quarterback was a freshman. You know how it is in the NFL. When you play in big games and you're an 8- or 10-year veteran, one more game doesn't mean that much, but when you're a rookie, every game of experience being so much. And I think Fromm will gain a lot of experience from that. I thought Auburn got on a great roll at home. Now, you know, they're elite at a lot of different areas, and they're built very solidly. But I think they're a much better team at home than they are on the road. They've proven to me, and I think across the country, that they're elite at home. I think maybe, you know, the final vision of Auburn with those last two games at home, people may be thinking that Auburn's a little better than what I saw early in the year when they struggled on the road, especially at LSU when I saw them in person.
And the Buckeyes against Wisconsin.
Well, I thought there were some cracks shown in the Buckeye defense that Michigan showed, that if their quarterback could have made just a few simple plays, that Wisconsin can run the ball against Ohio State. Now, you know, here's a team that got slaughtered last time this happened. Here's a team that's been given not much credit all year. I really like their challenge. I understand that Ohio State will be the favorite. They've got the better brand. Wisconsin has not played as tough a schedule. But, you know, I'm really hoping for the Big Ten and for Wisconsin that this is a really close game, and I have a feeling it will. And I'm actually going to pick Wisconsin because if Ohio State wins, as you mentioned in the lead-in, it really puts.
Oh, and that's the next question. I give you the four winners. I go Auburn, Georgia, doesn't matter. Clemson wins. Oklahoma wins. Ohio State wins. Who goes? We know Clemson goes. We know Auburn or Georgia goes. Oklahoma goes. The question is, who goes? Alabama or a two-loss Ohio State?
Right. Especially what the commission did a year ago when they vaulted a two-loss champion in, you know, they didn't even make the championship game, into the playoffs. And remember also the fact the last 2 years the Big Ten didn't even score a point in the game. You know, Ohio State was shut out the year before Michigan State was shut out. So there's a lot of factors here. I'm going to move it a little bit farther than you. I see only four possible scenarios. I think whoever wins both the ACC game and the SEC game are going to take two of the spots. So I think two of the spots are already accounted for, and the committee will either place the SEC champ. I think the ACC champ and the SEC champ are in. So now we move to the other two games. So we have three more scenarios. Just Ohio State wins, just TCU wins, or both Ohio State and TCU wins. And in my humble opinion, because of the way the committee's been acting and talking about best team beginning to the end of the season, I think they're going to grit their teeth because I think it's going to be very distasteful to them. But I think it's going to be Alabama is in under any scenario, and I think that the toughest decision they have is whether TCU or Ohio State gets in if both of them end up upsetting Oklahoma and Wisconsin.
Well, let me give you the four now. And so you're telling me that if we have Oklahoma, Clemson.
Well, start with the two teams. Start with two and two.
I think Auburn's in, and I might disagree with you a little bit on Miami, but I think Clemson's in automatically. I think Auburn, Georgia's in automatically. Okay, so let's put those two in.
I think Miami's in automatically.
All right, Oklahoma wins. And Ohio State wins. Okay, so who gets in, Alabama or Ohio State? Who would you say gets in?
It's the mother of all arguments because of what the committee did last year.
And who do you think they'll pick?
I think Alabama gets in under any scenario.
You think they get in over undefeated Wisconsin?
No.
I don't either.
I said...
Yeah, so...
Okay, let me try it again.
Right, yeah.
If the chalk holds,
right,
Alabama's out, okay? If it doesn't, if there's any upset, whether it's Ohio State or TCU or both, I think Alabama will be the first team in.
So Ohio State wins, you think Alabama goes? If Wisconsin wins, you think Wisconsin goes?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. I could agree with that, and I think Wisconsin has to go if they win. And Ohio State-Alabama is the argument, and that's the fascinating one. I agree. Everybody else, I agree, has to get in. Your thoughts on Jimbo Fisher, worst-kept secret for a week. I mean, it was a week ago that started happening. Didn't know if he'd get out of there or not. Now he has and gone to A&M. So, and A&M, as people, I think, understand, is as rich as any university in the world. So they can afford anybody. Now they get Jimbo Fisher. Your thoughts on Jimbo Fisher at A&M?
Well, you know, I'm not surprised about the amount of money per year. I am a little bit surprised on the length of the contract that, you know, is being rumored to be a 10-year contract. That's what we're all reading. The amount of money for him to leave Florida State, I mean, he must have known. The kind of distasteful part of it is it played out, as you said, over the last 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks, so much so that there's bad rumors that Florida State has not even been recruiting for a while. So
right,
it got pretty bad there at the end, and it hasn't been a good split. And that's not been great for the coaches. But, you know, these agents nowadays, they're just maneuvering behind the scenes. You know, we're hearing all kind of rumors about Gus Malzahn getting a similar type of offer from Auburn to stay in the $7 million range as well. So, you know,
and not go back to, and not go to Arkansas.
And not go to Arkansas. Right. So, you know, the lid has popped. I mean, Nick Saban broke
sure.
kind of the top of the bank. But then also, I think.
And Harbaugh got a fortune, too.
Harbaugh's yep. number
is
a
fortune.
Really upped it for everybody. So, listen, all these coaches know that now in modern day college football, it's very similar to being an NFL coach. We're not bringing you here to this program to graduate kids, okay? You got to go along. You got to follow the rules. We're bringing you here to win championships. And now it's getting just like the NFL because their packages have to be big because all these coaches know that if they don't win in 3 or 4 years, they're going to get fired.
No, absolutely no question. Now I'll ask you one, but fascinated to hear the answer. What the heck is going on at Tennessee?
Boy.
From the Schiano thing, which was a disaster, I think kills him to try and get another job after that. And then the Leach thing where they fire the AD, I mean, the whole thing has gotten crazy.
Yeah, and even, you know, we're here at the SEC Championship, and all of the SEC management and commissioner's office, all of them, they're all shaking their heads. We just had one of the connected administration people from Tennessee walk in our room and say, please don't mention us during the game. And that's how bad it is. And usually they do the opposite, right? They
yes.
want to let you know that something's happened. I thought the just-fired AD Curry made a huge mistake in not signing Schiano. I thought when he went back to the chancellor, and the chancellor obviously said, no, I'm not comfortable with this, I thought Curry should have gone to the microphone and said, I'm doubling down. I'm either staking my reputation on Greg Schiano, or you need to fire me too, because I don't think he had any other play. Once he showed weakness, then his days were numbered as an athletic director. I thought he should have gone there, and I actually thought Greg would have been the perfect guy for Tennessee. I thought, Mike, that they've gotten very soft, undisciplined. They did not play physical football, and I thought they needed some type of a guy like Greg to put the kind of like the physical game back into Tennessee.
And I mean, that whole thing, I mean, listen.
And they ruined his reputation.
They did. They killed him. How do you defend, how does he defend something that is so long ago that there's no way, that, you know, whether he knew or didn't know and what he knew, that's impossible for him to wipe that slate clean at this point.
Well, he didn't know. He had heard rumors just, you know, like maybe a lot of people suppose, but his rumors were secondhand. He just heard that. Listen, I interviewed John Sandusky when he was and Jerry Sandusky when he was at Penn State, and I always thought he was goofy.
Very goofy. I met him. He very goofy.
But goofy and trying to take the next step into saying he was molesting kids, I would never.
No,
and
not only that, you knew that he and Paterno didn't like each other. That was always the rumor that they didn't like each other.
Right. So if I'm up for a job and somebody said, I heard Gary Danielson after he interviewed saying that Sandusky was goofy, he must have known. No, I think that's a big leap. I feel bad for Greg because he is an outstanding coach. Remember, he was at Miami under Butch Davis, and had he stayed one more year, he would have been named head coach instead of Larry Coker. From everybody I've talked to around the Miami, and he could have been that run that Larry had because Butch had built that thing up. Then he goes and builds Rutgers into a good program. That's a tough job. He gets offered the Michigan job, turns that down, goes to Tampa Bay. Doesn't work out. You know, it didn't work out for Nick Saban or Steve Spurrier in the NFL either, or Lou Holtz. And now he goes back to Ohio State, proves that he can, you know, coach again in college, and then he's offered a job and embarrassed. I think it's one of the weakest management leaders. And the whole university should be ashamed of itself about this whole search.
Talking with Gary Danielson, I know this is speculation, but the rumors are getting stronger about Harbaugh, Colts,
really?
Bears.
Really?
you keep hearing them. He's 1-5 against Michigan State and Ohio State. Does he stay and fight the fight and clean that up, or does he? You can't stay at Michigan, even if you're hard boy. You can't stay at Michigan forever if you don't beat Ohio State. You know that. You can't do it. I don't care who you are. You can't stay there. So he can be the favorite son or not. You got to beat Ohio State. So he's 1-5 against Michigan and Ohio State. He's getting paid $9 million a year. The Colts are begging him. The Bears are evidently begging him. Do you think he stays and puts the finishing touches on this at Michigan, or do you think he bolts back to the NFL with open arms?
I don't like that. You know, we've done a lot of good years together, Mike, and I've tried to answer all of your questions as bravely as I could. But this is a tough one. I don't know if there's a tougher read in all of sports than Jim Harbaugh.
I agree. Yep. And I know it's just an educated guess on your part. I just wondered what you thought if he's. I wondered that the guy. I guess the point is, do you have a sense if he's frustrated or not?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think that what I believe is that if it wasn't his alma mater, he'd jump in a second. I think he just feels like, listen, you know, I don't want to be disloyal. I love this place. His kids probably love living in Ann Arbor. You know, it's a great place to raise, to grow and raise a family. He grew up there. So he's probably torn. Like, am I a better NFL coach than college coach? I've been successful both places. Then he looks out and goes, you know, if I could just get a little better quarterback play, I can win a championship here at Michigan. I think he's a bit torn. I'm always wrong about Jimmy. You know, he's one of my favorite football players, one of my favorite coaches, watching him build program. I don't know if you saw the first play of the game.
No, I actually missed. I missed the first quarter.
It was a really interesting. Jimmy came out in a huddle. Okay, a lot of teams don't huddle. Michigan does. He broke the huddle with two tight ends, quarterback under center, and a dead T formation, and he ran the fullback off tackle as if to say, this is what Michigan football and Ohio State football tradition looked like.
Yep, that's Bo. Yep,
yeah, that was Bo and Woody, right? Woody ran the dead T. He started the game off in the dead T formation. I think he loves.
I love that
everything
stuff.
About yeah.
So do I. And listen, I watched that game that day, and I told my boys, I said, listen. And they're not old enough yet to be in college football mode. But I told them, I said, this is by far, and I don't think it's even close, the best college rivalry. I don't even think it's close. Those two, to me, that game is always on a different level in terms of intensity. Every year, that there's really abject hatred between those two schools.
Yeah, I think George Pearl has had a great way of saying things. And he used to always say about having fun or a big game, he goes, I don't know if you can have any more fun than we're having or have a bigger game. He says, I'll at least say this. I'll take a tie, but nobody can beat this game. And I think that's about the best.
I agree. I love that game. That's my favorite game every year, that game. I love that. Auburn, Alabama was a good game. And I tell you, and Malzahn, boy, he's not shy. We didn't beat him. We didn't beat him. We kicked the heck out of him, is what he said.
I thought from that game, you know, that's what really makes this SEC championship game. There's two factors that makes this game so interesting, okay, is when the fact that Auburn has two losses and that they beat Georgia and Alabama at home and that it's a rematch, okay? And no one's talking about even doubting that if Auburn wins with two losses, they're in, okay?
Yep.
Now, the SEC hasn't had a great year this year. The SEC East is really down. And now the committee has to look at, do we really put two teams in from basically a down year at in the SEC?
Very interesting. But that team did beat two top teams in the last 3 weeks of the season.
Exactly.
You know?
So now you've got that big, you know, huge brand Alabama sitting at the outside. But Georgia coming in here saying, we got humiliated, and that's what makes this game so interesting, that Georgia, number one, got humiliated and get a chance to come back and change the direction. And now think about this. Georgia lost one game at Auburn, and they have a chance if they win to be in. Alabama, in a much tougher division, lost just one game, and they're out.
Yep.
And that's another factor.
Tricky. When you lose Hurts, though, it always does, you know, and they don't get to play the conference championship.
Basically lost their last game, but because Georgia's in the East.
Yeah, they got a chance to recoup.
A chance to do it. So, listen, I believe all along the committee's gone through the wrong path in the information and the way they've been talking about these teams. I think they have not followed their own mission statement. It should be that the four best champions of the conferences are in, unless now you got the four teams, and now you say, wait a second, is Alabama or let's say Notre Dame or a second-place team better than the worst team up there? So this year would be, all right, the four champions are in. TCU's in, Ohio State's in, okay, because of upsets. Miami's in, let's say, because they won, you know, and Wisconsin, you know, I don't know who's the other fourth one. I'm just trying to the four championships. Oklahoma's in, okay? Is Alabama better than Ohio State? That's all the committee should do. They shouldn't be trying to determine by watching tape or this or that. They should only decide, is Alabama more deserving than the fourth-place team? And they might say, nope, they're not better than Ohio State, but they are better than TCU. Put them in. Let's play. That's all they should be doing.
Should be fun to watch. We'll talk to you next
week.
Thank you.
I know we're running. I don't know if we're going to be doing it, you know, next Friday for Alabama.
Yeah,
Army,
we will.
Navy
we
game.
Will.
Okay, great.
Definitely,
great.
We
Looking
will next to. Week. We'll do. I want to talk about Army Navy. I like that. So we'll talk next week.
Fantastic.
Thanks. Bye. Gary Danielson. We got a lot more to do. Schrager, Doc O'Brien, picks, and everything else. Back after this.